Welcome to Ladies Who Launch, not your average business podcast. Dropping every other Wednesday, Alyssa and Dakota are two successful and opinionated marketing entrepreneurs engaging in insightful conversations with industry thought leaders, as well as casual conversations surrounding our lives as entrepreneurs.
Welcome back to another episode of Ladies Who Launch. Dakota and Alyssa joining you on a lovely Monday morning here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And it's springtime, so Dakota and I are in very good moods today.
Thank God.
Right?
Seriously. Except, can we just talk about daylight savings time for a minute?
Oh, yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. So I feel like the sun was starting to rise at 7 a.m. and now it's at 8 again. And it's like, okay, sure, we get an extra hour on the end for it to be light out at night. But the whole waking up in the dark, I'm over it.
Yeah, it does suck. I will say that. It is weird. And that's why like people who are big proponents of being on daylight saving for year round, I'm like, no. Because in the winter, the sun wouldn't come up till like 10. Or 9:30 or whatever it is. I'm like, no, I don't want that.
Terrible.
Anyway, a little bit of behind the scenes. Dakota and I have been talking about all things Ladies Who Launch for a good 40 minutes before we started recording this episode. So as we always say, we just finished our 2024 marketing plan and our social media content plan. So keep an eye out for all big things happening for Ladies Who Launch as we start to unroll these things and probably end of Q2 or end of Q1 into Q2 of this year. But maybe we'll do an episode on our marketing plan and social plan for this year to give people a little insight on how we're doing it for our business, because it probably will resonate with others. But as we get into this episode, this is also a business related episode, but it's sort of came to light for me in the last few weeks and why I wanted to have this topic today, because when you're starting a new year, and I think we've talked about this on episodes before, where you sometimes have some difficult conversations with clients that are maybe not aligning with your values or not providing you the compensation that's required for the work that you're doing for them now. And sometimes relationships sometimes just need to come to an end, and you lose some clients maybe coming into a new year, and you're sitting there like, oh, I've lost three clients and that's X amount of revenue. And now what do I do? And if you're like Dakota and I, you suck at selling yourself. And you have relied on word of mouth business for most of your time in business because you've done good work for other people and they will recommend you. But sometimes that word of mouth stuff doesn't come in a fell swoop. And so you're kind of stuck in this limbo where it's like, okay, I have to make back some of this revenue that I've lost because I've had to remove clients. So that's what we're going to talk about today in terms of the conversations around losing clients and revenue and how to pitch for more work, but not just any work, work that aligns with your vision and values for your business and what that looks like. So you don't get into the habit of the scarcity mentality that you will take any work that's presented to you and that you cogently, that's not the right word, but direct your efforts to pitching for clients and work that matters to you and that you know will actually benefit your business more than just taking any work that comes your way. So I know Dakota has some story from this year. I know she's lost some clients this year. So maybe we can just start talking about that first and the first thoughts that go through your mind when you have to let some clients go.
Yeah, you bet. Before I dive into that, I do want to say that something else that I think a lot of business owners aren't super fabulous at sometimes, because it's scary for them to have to look inside their business and see the places where they have to make adjustments and quantify their sales. The very first thing you should be doing at the beginning or end of every single year is creating a sales forecast for your following year. And the reason why this is so important and why it shouldn't be scary to you is because it helps you to identify the service areas that are resonating and selling the most. And it helps you to understand the gap that you're filling in the market, as well as what clients are actually hiring you for, which then gives you power to understand what you should and should not be amplifying into the following year. So for instance, if you unrolled a new product in 2023 that fell flat, but your bread and butter offering continued to kick ass, well, what do you think you're going to roll with in 2024? But let's say that that bread and butter product is killing your soul and you really hate doing it. How do you take that product and make adjustments to it so that you're enjoying doing it again and you're trying to attract the right clients? That's why it's important to do up a business plan and make a sales forecast for every single year. If you don't do that, what will end up happening is you will have to take clients out of scarcity mindset to pay your bills. And you'll end up burnt out, exhausted, and unfulfilled, as if you are not doing the purpose that you set out to do within your business. And this is probably what's happened to Alyssa and I a few times, not because we don't do sales forecasts or make business plans every year, but because, well, for me anyway, I'm a bit of a people pleaser. And sometimes I'll get into situations where I am enjoying working with a client so much so that I take on shit that they need that I don't want to do. And I think what's invariably kind of happened to both of us over the last decade or so is Alyssa and I would say that we start off the year a little bit lean. We get pretty busy. At least this is what happens for me. We get pretty busy into Q2, Q3. Usually by Q3, I'm very busy. By Q4, revenue has doubled, which is amazing. But I'm generally working with two or three clients that I just completely misalign with. Now, that being said, a big trend that I had in my past was burnout and the need to bring on a bigger and better team to help me offload my work was something that I needed to do for a really long time. And what was holding me back was fears from the past, working for really shitty bosses, being treated in ways that I didn't enjoy, and being fearful that I wouldn't be a good leader. Just because my time and energy was so zapped. So the biggest thing I can say is ripping the bandaid in more ways than one with business is always so important, in the sense that make sure you've got the revenue coming in to be able to do it. But at some point you just have to rip the bandaid and you have to look at what are the things that you need to do in order to improve your business. So for me last year, my apologies, I am losing my voice. For me last year, that was hiring a full-time employee. And since having hired that full-time employee, we have been able to bring in more business. We've been able to bring in business that suits us better. And we've been able to actually forecast in a way that makes sense for the business. So that was kind of step number one for me. But of course, at the beginning of this year, there were a couple clients that I had taken on my own last year that I didn't necessarily dislike. I love them. It was the retainer that we were being paid wasn't right for us. The service area we were offering was no longer right for us. So I took a hard look at my roster, as I do every single year. And I talked with my employee to make sure that everything was transparent. And I said to her, look, I think we have to free up some energy and costs in order to move forward in the direction that we want to move. So we're going to come down to a bit more of a lean client roster. We're going to throw our energy into these other clients that really, really need us right now because they're extremely busy. And then we're going to have a look at where we're at in Q2. And we're going to work together as a team to start putting ourselves out there more. And then from there, we created a brand new marketing plan for the year that included energy and talents from both of us. And then, of course, there was incentivization on my end to have her bring in business so that she could get compensated for it. So that's kind of how I started my year and how I generally start every year. Where I would like to get is to a place where it's kind of, we're in that cycle already moving into 2025 and we don't have to worry about, you know, potentially cycling through clients and bringing on new ones. We've got really great built-up partnerships and we've got sales streams in place to make sure that that business is always consistently coming in. And the number one thing we need to do as a team in order to make that happen is identify the services we want to offer that we actually enjoy doing, that we actually have the talent and skill sets to back up, for pricing that makes sense and will compensate us in a way that we deserve. And what exactly are we offering in terms of time and energy to these clients within these service areas in order to not burn out, and in a way that ties back to our purpose and what we enjoy doing every single day. And that is how you create that continuum where you will then be able to go out and promote it, knowing that you do it really well, and then hopefully consistently bring in clients, whether it's word of mouth or as a way of promoting yourself.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think what's good about how we're going to talk about this is that how Dakota sets up her business is very different than mine, in the fact that my business, Dakota has a different vision for her business in terms of wanting to be a larger entity and bringing in more clients and more work and whatever, sort of not a traditional agency model, but having a roster that's large enough, working with multiple different things. Whereas I have no interest in having staff or having a larger roster than I can manage. So my business is set up different in the fact that I'm very, very particular about the clients that I choose to work with and the work that I do with them, because I can only manage the amount of work that I can manage or that I want to manage, for example. I know I can't manage 20 or 25 clients at any given time because that's unrealistic. So I like to keep a consistent roster of like 5 core, consistent retainer-based clients, and then bring in shorter projects to sort of fill in other gaps, which just proves that there are multiple different ways anyone can run their business. Not everyone has to do it the same way, and not everyone has the same vision for where they want their business to go. My business is so that I can travel and do other things. So I don't want to be bogged down with a bazillion clients doing different work. And I have no interest in managing staff. So everyone's different. So in that regard, how we go about finding and working with clients is probably a little different too. But this kind of gives people an idea, like if you're in a situation and you've done what Dakota said and you kind of do an analysis or an audit your year-end in terms of clients that aren't the right fit anymore for various different reasons, or sometimes it's the opposite and sometimes you're not the right fit for a client and it's not always about us. Sometimes it's the client is like, I need something different, and that's totally fine too. Relationships are the way they are. Now you're at the point of like, okay, now I need to go find new business. And what does that look like? And I think before doing that, in sort of reiterating what Dakota said, is you have to determine what your business is and what you and your business want to be doing and the types of work that you value and the types of sectors that you value or don't value or whatever. And I say this all the time, but as a vegetarian, I couldn't bring on like the Canadian Cattlemen's Association as a client. Not that there's anything wrong with the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. I'm sure they're awesome, but I don't eat meat. So having me as a PR person would not be beneficial to them because I don't have any relationship to understanding meat or cows or any of it. And for me, it just doesn't align as a value. So that is not an area that I would present myself to pitch to. And I'm sure everyone has their own personal values. I'm the same with the energy sector. I've lived in Calgary for a long time, but I have never made a single penny in the energy sector in Calgary. And not that I'm saying that you can't do that or you shouldn't, but for me, it doesn't align with my values. So I don't pitch work to oil and gas companies. It is what it is. Other people do, and that's great because they fit that niche and there's people who work in that. So that's sort of the first step, is figuring out your value proposition as a business. What makes you unique? What sets you apart? than any other agency or any other freelance writer or copywriter or social media person? Why are you different? And you should be able to determine those things, because if you can't, well, maybe you have to reassess your own business plan, but you should be able to determine the types of areas that that you want to attract, but also your own value as your own company. And that can be things like, say, you're very into social justice. So that would be something that sets you apart. If you're very vocal online about your social justice views, then that would be a value proposition for your business, and that you align yourself as an activist or in politics or for various different reasons, for various different groups. And that's a value to you. So that sets you apart from other agencies or other businesses that maybe they don't publicly consider themselves an activist. So you have to think of what sets you apart, because quite honestly, there's 8 bazillion PR firms, there's 8 bazillion social media firms, there's 8 bazillion copywriters, but there's work for everyone. You just have to figure out where you fit in that. And that's your value proposition. And yes, that sounds very corporate-y, but every company, no matter if you're one person or 5,000, needs a value proposition. So sort that out. It's basically needs to be specific, it needs to be relevant, and it needs to be memorable, because that's what you are as a business. So those things need to be visible to the people that you are wanting to present your work to.
Absolutely. I think Alyssa just nailed it. But yeah, I think just going back to purpose, I would say that's my number one kind of goal at this juncture in my life. I started a business 9 years ago out of a need for something that I thought would be able to pay the bills. And it was a great ride for a long time, but social media has evolved so much that it doesn't always align with the things that I want to be doing. And so my goal for 2024 is to transition my business into being able to continue the way that it has been, because it is something that we are good at. But what can my role look like that's different? And what can I be doing? What service offerings can I be offering in addition to what we already do with a bigger team, where I can be living my day-to-day in a way that I want to be living my day-to-day? And then how do I pitch that, and how do I monetize it, and how do I forecast for it, and how do I go after it is really the question. But exactly what Alyssa said, making sure that you understand your vision, your mission, your values, those things are very important.
Yes. And write them down. I think that's something that some of us small business owners sort of miss, is that we think about these things and we might put together a vision board or something on our iPad, but legitimately write them down. Like, what are your core values? What is your vision? What's your mission? What's your value proposition? And have them put them on a sticky note on your computer monitor, like just knowing that those are always there so that you can be referring back to them, because this then goes into the next step of how you're finding work or where those people are. So a lot of that is on like research, and that's researching sectors, researching organizations that you're interested in, maybe organizations you volunteered for or that you have seen on Instagram that you like their work or things like that. I have a friend who works in PR specifically in the tech sector. So she is a part of a lot of the startup groups in Calgary, whether that's through Platform, the tech incubator, or other networking groups, so that she is there to meet her potential clients at events to pitch herself as a PR person for their startup. So that's how she does her sort of research, is direct action. But get online, visit companies' websites, visit their social media. You can read articles that they've been featured in. Like, even if you are just Googling their business name or this name of their executive leadership, those articles, videos, all of that will show up in that. And then there could be colleagues or people that you may have worked with previously that are now working for those companies. Do a direct reach out to anyone that you might know at a company or organization and sort of insert yourself in that way and tell them what you do and that you've seen that they're doing this, or that you've seen that they're going to be launching a new product or a new service and that you are able to assist with that. This is what you can bring to the table. And this is who or what you've worked with in the past that aligns with that. Like, show them why you're the person that they need to bring on to assist in this project or this launch or whatever it is. And you'll be able to do that because you've already identified your value proposition and what sets you apart from anyone else who may be sending them an email to pitch for work on a specific project.
Sorry, Alyssa, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and then I'll get into what that email or what that pitch deck looks like on our next step.
Absolutely. So the other thing that I was going to mention is if anybody is feeling lost about how to start a business, or you know, they're just really not sure, Alyssa and I are here to help. And we do offer certain things that help business owners get started. So if you want to hop onto our Instagram at Ladies Who Launch Pod and visit either of our websites and send us a note, love to have a quick 30-minute chat with you about your business and help you maybe get things started.
Yes. Yeah. If you're sitting there right now, because both Dakota and I were that person 10 years ago debating whether this is an actual business, if we want to do this. And I know I reached out to mentors that I have. So yeah, Dakota and I are very happy to help anyone one-on-one. If you're having difficulty figuring out your value proposition, difficulty creating emails or cold emails or cold direct messages to businesses to help you get in the door. Sometimes that's difficult for people as well, but we're happy to help with that. And that sort of leads into the creation of your actual pitch deck and what that looks like. So you've got your value proposition, you've done your research, you want to go after this particular company because you saw that they're doing something that you feel that you can help them with or be a part of. And so now you got to create what that pitch deck looks like. And my biggest takeaway for all of you today, if you're listening, is to not give away the farm in your proposal or your pitch deck. This happens way too often where you're, I don't want to say desperate, but you're very keen to work with a company or on a project, and that you end up giving away all of your intellectual capital in that proposal. You will tell them what you want to, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, why X, Y, Z, and then they don't need you because you've just told them everything that they need to do to launch or to do this piece of work. So it's always very important not to give away everything in your proposal or your pitch deck. It's really there. You're providing this to them as information about you. It's, but by keeping the client's needs in mind as well. But it should basically highlight your skills and experience. Again, your unique value proposition, your unique selling features, and any relevant case studies or testimonials that you have that you've worked on in the past that would be relevant to this work. And you can also include like the process, like your process of how you work on these projects and the kind of results that you're able to bring in. But you never, ever indicate the how you're going to do that in a proposal, because then again, you're just giving away your intellectual capital. But it needs to be compelling. I know a lot of people will, if you have Canva skills, this is a great way to show them off and do something really great in Canva with visuals. But the biggest thing is your skills and your experience, case studies, testimonials, because those are what prospective clients need to see. To see that A, you know what you're doing, and B, that you've worked on these sort of projects or with these sorts of businesses in the past. So that will help you. The chances are greater of you landing that opportunity if you're able to put together something that's visually appealing, but also showcases your work, because ultimately that's what you're trying to do, is show off your work. But again, you're pitching to keeping all this in your mind, you're pitching to companies and organizations that align with your values, because it will automatically, you'll be able to show your passion for them as an organization in your pitch, because you're already engaged and involved or interested in what they do.
Exactly. And with that, guys, just a quick reminder that Alyssa and I have built Ladies Who Launch passionately and off the sides of our desks, and we are trying to grow the podcast. So as always, we would really appreciate a review, a 5-star rating, any comments if you love what we're talking about, and spreading the word for us would also be really great. We really appreciate that, and it definitely helps to get us to the top of the heap. We have a goal to be in the top 1% by early 2025, so you can definitely help us get there. And as always, we appreciate you, and we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day without you. So thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you next time on Ladies Who Launch.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Who Launch. Join Dakota and Alyssa every second Wednesday for more conversations and interesting guests. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. If you send us a question, we may answer it on a future episode.